A young boy with sunken cheeks clutches her patterned skirt. Your Majesty, the woman bows when she reaches the throne. From this distance, I can see the way their skin hangs from their bones, the horrible way their bellies protrude. I know it is not my place to ask, she says, but we are living off scraps. If you could spare some food. Mother leans down, whispering to me under her breath. The blocked roads have prevented food from coming in, and the marketplace has been closed for weeks. It was destroyed in the Iyika's first attack. I nod, remembering the bazaar that was once full of scented spices and red meats. I inspect the crowd. Who else is in need? I ask. Hands lift throughout the hall and my chest falls. This is supposed to be the prosperous capital of my kingdom, and yet in this war, my people starve. Captain Kunle, I turn to Father's tax collector, a balding man with bushy brows and ruddy cheeks. How much food do we have in our reserves?
Around 2 moons worth, Your Majesty, but that's meant to supply the palace. Any rations left over are distributed to the nobles and military officials.
Divide its contents, I decide. I want rations made for every civilian. Nobles rise to their feet at my declaration. Shocked whispers pass through the crowd.
Your Majesty, your generosity is admirable.
General Jokoye steps forward.
But how do you plan to sustain the palace, the military, yourself?
When I defeat the Iyika, the roads will reopen again. I am aware of the risks.
By the skies, we'll starve, Jokoye shouts.
Everyone will starve if we don't bring this war to an end. I stare her down, forcing her to stay quiet.
I want a mobile distribution center set up in the marketplace by the end of the day. That's an order.
Everyone stares as my words echo through the throne room, but I squeeze the bronze piece, staying firm. Though the nobles' discontent swells, it can't overpower the tears that fill the young woman's eyes. Mother squeezes my shoulder, and I feel the warmth of her pride. A smile comes to my face as a line forms before my throne. All right, I wave the next villager forward. What do you need? One by one, my people come forward, presenting their problems over the course of hours. The bodies in the streets, the orphaned children, the hundreds displaced by destroyed infrastructure. With additional rations as incentive, new workforces spring up. We organize groups to collect the dead. Under my pressure, nobles open their homes to displaced villagers and parentless children. That's it. I smile as a few Titans volunteer for Mother's forces. With every order, I feel my new rank, the strength I wield as a king. A moon ago, declarations like these were figments of my imagination. Now with one word, they become law. Even those who oppose me can't oppose my rule.
Your Majesty, if I may.
General Jokoye walks forward, hands clasped behind her back. Though petite, her presence is mighty. Guards stand taller when she walks past.
I admire your benevolence, but these are bandages, not solutions. The Iyika are holding us hostage with their attacks. It's only a matter of time before they return to finish what they started.
The general's words are like thick clouds blocking out the rays of sun. The flicker of hope that shined in the throne room extinguishes under the realities of war.
We can scout their location. Impossible!
Jokoye slashes her hand.
Every time we've sent a soldier into the forest, they've retaliated. And our scouts never return alive.
I pull at my collar,
A sweat gathers at my neck. Then we'll launch a full-scale assault. Overwhelm them before they can strike. To get our army out of Lagos would mean destroying the ruins that provide our only defense.
Jokoye adjusts her spectacles.
Do you really intend to take that risk when we can't pinpoint the Eyika's location?
Her words are like razors slashing through my solutions. She doesn't bother to hide her disdain. The stench of disapproval gathers in the room.
These are important questions, Mother comes to my defense. One's best discussed behind closed doors. Secrecy will serve no purpose when we're all dead. Until we eliminate the Eyika, all these efforts are in vain.
I flip the bronze piece between my fingers and gaze out the long windows. Father always respected Jokoye most for her honest tongue. All conversation stops as people wait for my response. I take a deep breath before rising from the throne.
Given more time, I'll come up with a plan.
Shouts ring from the main hall. I flinch as the sound of broken glass follows. Though we can't see what's happening, the commotion might as well be the Eyika alarm. Guards form a barrier around Mother and me as villagers dash for cover. Ojore sprints toward the commotion in the main hall. The soldiers usher us toward the palace cellars. But before I take cover, I hear the assailant scream.
Let me go!
She shrieks. I double back, forcing my way through my guards. A broken vase lies on the tiled floor. Stale loaves of bread litter the main hall. The young thief struggles against Ojore's hold as he forces her to her knees. When he removes her hood, a head full of bright white coils springs free.
Your Majesty, stay back!
Jokoye removes her sword, holding it to the Magi's neck. She gestures to the red insignia on the girl's chest that marks her as a member of the Eyika.
She's one of them.
At ease, General.
I raise my hand. She's just a child looking for food.
You weren't here when Lagos fell, Jokoye snarls. When it comes to the Magi, children might as well be fully trained soldiers.
Staring at the girl, I don't see the same threat. Her brown eyes crinkle with rage, but her breaths turn ragged as she hyperventilates. Mother tries to keep me by her side, but the bronze piece burns in my hand. I move Jokoye aside and approach the young Magi, kneeling until we are face to face.
I don't care if you're the king, the girl spits. I'll burn you where you stand.
What's your name? I ask. She blinks in surprise before narrowing her angular eyes.
My name is Raifa, and I will live to see a Magi sit on that throne.
Jokoye charges forward at the threat, but I force her to stay back. I pick up the loaves on the floor, placing them back into Raifa's cotton bag.
You don't have to steal, I tell her. We are giving fresh food away for free.
Inan!
Mother hisses, eyes shining with concern. Behind me, Jokoye's jaw ticks. Soldiers glare at my back. The approval I need diminishes by the second, but looking at the girl, I remember the promises I made to Zeli. I don't just want to be king. I want to be the king my father couldn't be. Take this bag to your people and spread the word. I hand Raifa the bag. Let them know any defector who volunteers for the reconstruction efforts shall receive double the food rations. The color drains from Mother's face. Her legs buckle as she finds her seat. The crowded hall erupts in anger as I hand Raifa to Ojore. He's the only one I can trust. Make sure she gets back to the forest in one piece. Ojore clenches his jaw so tight I worry he'll crack a tooth, but he forces himself to bow. Rage builds as the people watch their admiral walk the rebel out the palace doors.
Your Majesty, you spit in our faces, Jokoye roars, inciting her soldiers' cheers.
These maggots have destroyed our home! They've killed the people we loved!
So have we!
I cut her off.
For decades! We strike them, they strike us. The cycle never ends!
Mother's cheeks are so pale, she looks like she may faint. But she doesn't understand the things I've seen. No one knows the things I've felt.
If you were a Magi and your powers returned, what would you have done?
I addressed the crowd.
Their families were slaughtered under Father's reign. We sent half their people to the stocks. Until this moment, the Magi have had two choices: fight against us or face persecution. With this decree, they will have another option. An opportunity for lasting peace they've never been afforded.
Though I look for support in the crowd, no one comes to my defense. The advisors keep me under cold glares. Any goodwill I built with the military slips away.
You may not agree with my methods, but this is a chance for peace.
I face Jokoye again.
We only survive if both sides put down their arms.
Jokoye shakes her head, but she doesn't push back on my rule. Father always valued her loyalty. If I could earn her trust, I know I would value it too.
What about those who won't join us? Jokoye asks. Those who shall spit on your offer.
Any Magi who makes that choice will suffer my wrath. I promise I will not hold back.
Chapter 22. Amari. I brace myself as Nao and Mazeli lead us past the sanctuary's narrow dormitories and half-constructed towers. Bodies crowd along the second mountain of the Iyika's base as word of our arrival spreads like wildfire.
Out of my way!
Mazeli revels in the attention.
Soldier of death coming through!
The title echoes around Zeli as we move, inciting whispers through the crowd. People stare at her as if she were a goddess. They look at me like I'm a bug. I don't know if they glare because they know who I am or because of the white streak in my hair. I attempt to tuck it away as we pass under the vine-covered archway of the mountain's largest tower.
The elder quarters fill the floors above,
Nao explains.
But we use the ground floor as the cafeteria.
Thank the skies. My mouth waters at the scent of spiced chicken and fried plantain. Platters of jollof rice line the far wall. It's more food than I've seen in moons. But my appetite quells when Nao leads us toward the table of elders in the back. Though they wear the same suits of armor as their counterparts, the five clan heads present radiate natural power.
Council! Allow me to introduce the future of the Reaper clan.
Mazeli charges forward.
The legend of the lands, the eventual mother of my three sons.
Mazeli, shut up! Nao hits the boy over the head before taking her place on an empty stool.
Elders, the soldier of death joins us at last.
Zeli tenses as every elder stops talking. All eyes fall to her.
Jagun Jaguniku
echoes around the cafeteria. I clear my throat, waiting for my introduction to follow. But it's like I'm not even here. Not one elder seems to care.
Jagun Jagun.
A girl with a scar over her left eye speaks first. A few years older than us, she sits with her back against the wall, one arm draped over her knee. My lips part as I take in the forest of white coils that frame her light brown skin, the freckles splattered across her flat nose. I've seen this girl before. The rebel from the rally. She glared at me from the crowd, red paint staining her hands. From the way the others wait on her word, I can tell she's their unspoken leader.
Ramaya,
She drops to one knee.
Elder of the Connector Clan, it's an honor to meet the soldier who brought our magic back.
I didn't act alone. Zaylee gestures to me. I had a lot of help. Ramaya's eyes flick in my direction, but she looks through me as if I was glass. My insides burn when she steps closer to Zaylee, extending her hand.
We look forward to having you on the council.
Oh, I don't know about that, Zaylee says. I'm only here to win this war.
Winning's just the beginning.
Ramaya pushes back.
With your strength, we can annihilate Nehanda and her titans. Once the monarchy's out of the way, we can place you on the throne.
Wait, what? Zaylee jerks her head back and the two of us lock eyes. I don't even know what to say. I can't find my voice.
Who better to lead us than the soldier of death?
Ramaya asks. My throat dries as I step forward, a feeble attempt to insert myself into the conversation. But before I can get a word out, another elder blows past us.
There's word from Lagos.
The tamer sits down, a thick girl with broad shoulders and rich curves. Sunflowers rest in her luscious head of curls. Small hummingbirds flutter around their petals. The tamer's pink-tinted armor glistens as she hands Ramaya a small parchment from the yellow hummingbird on her shoulder.
You're kidding.
Ramaya's face falls when she reads the note.
The prince is alive?
Inan?
I lean forward, attempting to see the black ink.
I know.
The tamer rolls her eyes.
Killing these royals is like killing roaches.
She locks eyes with Zaylee and nods, tossing her white curls.
Naima,
she introduces herself.
I would bow, but I don't bow to anyone. This doesn't make sense,
Ramaya shakes her head.
Why would the king offer food and gold to any magi who defect?
Zaylee reaches for the note, but I beat her to the punch. Ramaya bristles as I scan the report, but even she can't dim the light of Inan's decree. My hand flies to my heart as I read his promises, his bold attempts at peace. It's more than I've seen from any monarch. I knew he could be this kind of king.
Zaylee, look!
I push the parchment in her hands, fighting the lump in my throat. He's keeping his word. My mind starts to spin as I consider everything this decree could mean. I thought I needed power to take Mother off Arisha's throne and build a kingdom that was safe for the Magi. But if Inan's willing to grant amnesty to the Iyika, we may not need to fight. If I could talk to him, we might be able to reach an agreement that satisfies both sides. With the right terms, we could get the monarchy and the Magi to put down their arms.
You faced the king.
Ramaya looks to Zaylee.
What do you make of this?
Zaylee's face hardens as she stares at the note. My stomach drops when she throws it to the ground.
If the little prince is offering food to the Magi, there's poison in it.
Zaylee, no,
I whisper under my breath, but her words incite the other elders.
He's good with his words, but you'd be a fool to believe any of them. What do you suggest?
Naima leans forward.
How do we strike back?
That food is all they have, Zaylee says.
Burn it and let them starve.
No!
I fight my way through, pushing until I can place my hands on their table.
Burn that food and you won't just endanger the people of Lagos. You'll escalate the war the king's trying to end.
The entire cafeteria quiets down in the wake of my outburst. Ramaya blinks at me, as if surprised I can speak.
Apologies. I clear my throat. I haven't introduced myself.
Oh, I know who you are.
The ice in Ramaya's tone chills me to the bone.
Your mother is the reason we lost Lagos. Your father is the reason I have this scar.
She rises from her seat and the others move out of her way.
What I don't know is why you think you have a right to even breathe in my presence.
My cheeks heat as all eyes land on me. There's not one warm face in the crowd. Only Mazeli gifts me a sympathetic frown. I helped bring magic back. I square my chest. I have magic myself.
The abomination you call magic doesn't earn you a place at this table. It certainly doesn't earn you the right to have an opinion.
Ramaya looks me up and down before turning back to Zeli.
I look forward to working with you on the council. We'll hold a Reaper challenge and make your ascension official tomorrow.
What about the king's decree?
Now asks.
I agree with Zeli. Give the order to our soldiers at the front. I want those rations burned by sunrise.
Ramaya, wait! I try to grab her arm, but she stops me with a look.
Speak at my table again, and I'll rip out your tongue with my bare hands.
I inhale a shaking breath as she walks away, causing the other elders to follow her path. My lips quiver with everything I want to scream. I can't believe how easily they reject Inan's attempt at peace. What are you doing? I turn to Zeli. You could have convinced them to give peace a chance.
That offer wasn't peace.
Zeli shakes her head.
It was bait. Inan's using food the same way he used Baba. He'll kill any Magi who tries to claim it.
I open my mouth to argue, but I know there's nothing I can say. There's no convincing her to give my brother another chance after all those two have been through.
Just stick to the plan, Zeli says. We can use the Iyika to take your family down. The elders will warm up to you when they know you can be trusted.
They'll never trust me. I stare at the stool where Ramaya sat. I can still feel the heat of her disdain, her hatred for what I am. But maybe they can respect me. My voice trails as I look at my scarred hand.
What are you thinking? Zeli asks.
I need you to help me with my magic. Chapter 23. Inan.
My heart beats in my throat as Mother and I make our way down the merchant quarter to welcome the Iyika defectors. Our soldiers have wasted no time on repairs since the rebels' last attack. In just a few days, all the bodies in the marketplace have been cleared. We step over the scattered debris swept to the sides of Lagos' streets to make room for the new ration carts. The stands have only been open since dawn, yet the line of villagers waiting for food still goes all the way to the diviner dwellings.
Inan, are you sure about this?
Mother grabs the reins of my snow leopener, pulling me close. Behind us, soldiers usher the villagers into underground bunkers created by Mother and her titans.
Jokoye put you on the spot. That maggot threw you off guard. You're doing great work, but it's all right to change your mind.
She voices the thoughts that have been bouncing around my skull all night. I have no idea if this will work, if this is truly what's best for Orisha. We ride past the remains of the diviner slums, and I don't know whether the destruction tells me to move forward or turn back. There was something beautiful in the rainbow shanties that surrounded my city. Now, it's only mounds of rubble and ash. I stop in front of a giant hill that used to house 50 shacks. Now, only sheets of painted metal twist out of the dirt. Did the Iyika do this?
No, Mother shakes her head.
I did. A ferocity shines in her amber gaze, one I haven't witnessed before.
Every attempt I've made to do magic has almost left me comatose. But Mother seems to command the might of gods.
I didn't know I wasn't like the others until those maggots attacked, she says. The new Titans harmed themselves with their abilities, but I was able to absorb their power. I wielded it with a strength no magi could match.
Her voice rises in pitch as her conviction builds.
For so long we've been defenseless against the havoc the magi wreak, but now the gods have blessed us as well. We're powerful enough to annihilate them, Inan. The only way to achieve lasting peace is to cleanse the maggots from this land.
Her words make my fingers grow cold. To cleanse Orisha of magi would be finishing Father's work. It would be another raid. As we approach the ruined walls, shielding Lagos from the forest, the weight of the world presses down on my shoulders. I'm out of time. I need to make a choice.
I can break through these ruins, Mother says, but I cannot bring them back. Do you really want to risk our only defense for a few rebellious maggots?
General Jokoye and the other advisors watch from a safe distance, but their disapproval hangs over me like the smoke in the air. If I'm wrong, we could all suffer. But if I'm right, Raifa's sunken brown eyes sear their way through the noise in my head. The young Berner may have spit in my face, but like the rest of my villagers, sharp bones protruded from her sagging skin. We have to try. I exhale a deep breath. I have to try. This is my chance to bring the peace my father couldn't. Mother purses her lips together, but nods as she dismounts in front of the ruined walls. At a sharp wave of her hand, her titans form a circle around her, imposing in their golden suits of armor.
Your Majesty, this is a mistake!
Jokoye shakes her head as I join her and the other members of the Royal Council. General, I know how you feel, but the Magi need peace as much as we do.
They don't care about peace,
Ojore mutters.
They want victory, no matter the cost.
His hand travels to the burn scars on his neck, and I glance up at the sky.
Please,
I send the prayer to whatever gods lie above. Prove me right. Let them be wrong. All conversation halts when Mother summons her magic. The air twists around her as she opens her hands, igniting an emerald glow within her chest. Deep greens crackle around her golden armor like lightning, and veins bulge against her neck. Mother stretches out her fingers, making the circle of titans around her freeze in place.
Skies, I curse, flinching at the sight. The titans around Mother seize, grunting as she rips the ashe from their veins.
The soldiers fall to their knees when Mother's eyes glow green. With a grunt, she thrusts her hands forward, and her power breaks free. Emerald light cuts through the mounds of rubble like a knife, carving the dirt wall into pieces. We shield our eyes as the ruined wall explodes, a mess of twisted metal and debris flying through the air. My chest tightens when the smoke starts to clear. 7 members of the Iyika stand at the top of the highest hill, overlooking Lagos. Here we go. Stillness descends as we take the rebels in. Dirt mars their faces and white coils. Frayed kaftans hang from their limbs. They don't look friendly, but their presence is enough. It's the first sign of hope. The first sign this peace could work.
Raifa!
I raise a hand to the young Berner standing in front. She takes the first step forward. I mirror her approach.
I'm glad you came.
Mother tries to keep me from stepping beyond the broken gates, but I push her away. If this is going to work, they need to see that I trust them. They must think I'm not afraid.
It's all right,
I wave the others forward.
You're protected under my orders.
Raifa doesn't say a word. Despite our distance, I can hear her labored breaths. But as she nears, she extends her hand. I smile at her resolve, extending mine as well. Then I see the sparks firing at her fingertips.
Protect the king!
Mother's voice turns shrill. In a second, chaos abounds. Soldiers drag me back as Mother's Titans storm forward, deploying every Magicite bomb they have. Shattered glass rings as their orbs break. Someone forces a golden mask over my face. My head spins as the poisonous gas coats the battlefield, making it impossible to see the action.
Mother!
My scar burns as I wait for the blackness to clear. When the smoke thins, I break free, praying the bodies on the ground aren't any of my soldiers.
Is everyone all right?
My voice cracks as I approach the Magi lying on the scorched earth. The rebels are burned beyond recognition. Their skin sizzles as the Magicite lingers over their corpses. Though some of my soldiers sport new scrapes and bruises, all of my men and women still stand. Mother wipes a line of blood from her lips and spits.
Filthy maggots!
I'm sorry. I stumble back, struggling to stay on my feet. My body starts to shake as everything that just happened hits me. I thought I was taking the first step toward peace. I risked everything to be a different kind of king. But the Iyika didn't even make it into the city before they staged their attack. Ojore was right. The Magi don't want peace. They want victory, no matter the cost. Mother's brows soften as she takes in my despair. She sighs and takes me by the hand.
You were leading with your heart, but you must realize that not every person in Orisha deserves it.
I force myself to nod, squeezing the bronze piece to quell the tremor in my hand. I won't make that mistake again.
Wait!
We look up as Ojore walks among the corpses on the ground.
There are only 6 bodies here. I counted 7 on top of that hill.
I jog forward, stomach dropping when I realize which face is missing.
Where's the girl?
I shout.
Where is Raifa?
Confusion spreads as people search the woods, but I catch her lanky silhouette behind the broken ruin walls. She whips around when she hears her name, a golden mask fixed over her face. Panic fills her large brown eyes, and she looks to the single path leading back to the marketplace. It's then I understand her true target. The others were just a distraction.
Stop her!
I command. Raifa rips off her mask, sprinting as fast as her thin legs will allow. Her white hair bounces along her back as she races past the diviner dwellings, reaching the ruins of the merchant quarter. Soldiers defending the ration carts move into her path, but Raifa stretches out her hand. Sparks fly from her fingers as she shouts,
"Ina Orisha! Boy pay me!"
A titan tackles her to the ground, but her embers still take to the air. They grow brighter as they fly through the sky. Horror floods me when the flames reach their full size. 5 comets race toward the ration carts. People dive out of the way. My heart seizes when they strike. In a flash, the rations go up in flames.
No!
I fall to my knees and clutch my chest, struggling to breathe as our food burns. A rage that doesn't feel like my own floods me from my core. 1/2 of our rations destroyed in seconds.
This is only the beginning,
Raifa shouts, thrashing as more soldiers hold her down. She trembles when Ojore storms toward her, but she continues to yell.
Your time is over. All of Lagos will burn. The soldier of death is coming.
I flinch as Ojore silences her with his sword.
The soldier of death is coming. I don't need to see a face to know who the title describes. Zeli swore she'd be my end. I just didn't expect her to attack so fast. I underestimated the resources and soldiers she had at her command.
Are you satisfied, Your Majesty?
Jokoye seethes at my back.
Thank the skies for your ideals.
Raifa's blood pools as soldiers try to extinguish the flames in the marketplace, but there's no salvaging the food that burns. Even as my body shakes with rage, sorrow fills my heart. I take in the despair of my advisors, the fury of my soldiers. From afar, villagers start to exit the underground tunnels. What will they do when they see I've condemned them to be raided by the Iika or starved to death?
I'll fix this, I shout. I promise.
I just wish I knew how. Chapter 24. Amari. My throat burns as yellow bile splatters across the wild grass. Somehow it carries the sweet scent of fried plantain. The smell makes me nauseous again. As Zeli and I train on the hilly terrain outside the Iika sanctuary, I wonder what I'm doing wrong. No matter what I try, using my Titan magic is like torture. My powers rage beyond my control.
Maybe this was a bad idea.
Zeli flinches, turning away when I start to heave. At this rate, your magic will do more harm to you than anyone else. I reach to wipe the bile off my chin, but it stings to lift my hand. Zeli shakes her head at the burns along my palm. The blistered skin turns red.
I'm fine, I say. I just have to keep pushing.
Keep pushing and you could kill yourself. Is that really what you want? My arms shake as I turn over, lying on the grass. After hours of failed training, my lungs burn with each inhale. But every time I get close to giving up, I picture Ramaya's scar.
Speak at my table again, and I'll rip out your tongue with my bare hands.
The Iika will never respect me unless I can prove my power. I need control of my magic if I want to win them over to my side. I push past my pain and rise. But before I can summon my magic again, Zeli stops me.
It's not about how hard you push,
she sighs. Follow me. I can explain. I trail after her as we descend into the jungle's valleys, ducking under hanging vines and curving around mammoth trees. Creaking cicadas form the chorus of the night. Above us, baboonums leap from hanging vines. Though my muscles ache, I enjoy the serenity of the space as we come to the flowing river along the sanctuary's dead trail. Zeli points to a section of water filtering through a pile of thick rocks as she kneels.
Think of this water as our ashe,
she explains, the spiritual energy in our blood. When Magi use incantations, it's like lifting one of these rocks. The magic flows freely, allowing us to cast safely. She picks up a rock and I follow the new path of water that moves through the natural dam. I imagine the lavender magic flowing through Zeli's body, filling her veins like a glowing spider web. It's like threading a needle?
Something like that, Zeli nods. The energy that flows free isn't as powerful as yours, but it's precise. It can be wielded to do more.
Zeli pauses, scanning the rock pile until she lands on the largest.
As a Titan, you're using blood magic by design. That means you have no precision, no control.
She lifts the heavy stone and the water explodes, gushing through the new path. It's the equivalent of releasing all the ashe in your blood at once. Magic like that is a result.
I stare at my scarred hands, starting to understand the source of my pain. All night it's felt like a fire raging from within, burning me with each attempt I make.
If my magic is a needle, then yours is a hammer, Zeli says. Without control, you and the people around you get hurt. Release too much ashe, and you won't just feel pain. You'll drown.
I pinch my lips together as I mull over her words. If what Zeli says is true, every Titan is a danger to themselves. How many have already perished from taking their magic too far? But what about my mother? I ask. She channeled more ashe than any Titan. Why didn't it kill her?
I don't know. Zeli takes a shuddering breath at the thought. I've never seen power like hers. It's like she's something else.
I take a deep breath, rising back to my feet. I attempt to turn Zeli's explanation around, searching for a solution instead of a condemnation. If I'm using blood magic by design, then I just need control, I say. We can fix that if you teach me an incantation.
Zeli's nostrils flare and she steps back. Her shoulders grow tense. Yoruba is sacred to our people. It's not just something you can learn.
This is bigger than that, I wave my hand. For sky's sake, we're at war.
Our magic isn't about the war, Zeli shouts. Our incantations are the history of our people. They are the very thing your father tried to destroy.
Her chest heaves up and down and she shakes her head.
Titans have already stolen our magic. You can't steal this too.
Steal? I tilt my head. Zeli, what are you talking about? How else am I supposed to learn control?
You don't need control, she says. You don't need to use your magic at all.
If I don't have my own power, who am I supposed to count on?
I extend my arms.
It took less than 5 minutes with the Iyika for you to stab me in the back.
Stab you in the back?
Zeli stops, snorting to herself.
So that's what this foolishness is about. After everything he's done, you still want to trust Inan.
My cheeks heat and I turn away, hugging myself. I know there's no way to explain it to her, but I know my brother's heart. If he was offering that food, it had to be real. There was a chance for us to end this war, yet she destroyed it without a second thought.
My plans haven't changed, Zeli says. I still want to see you on Orisha's throne, but I won't apologize because I'm no longer stupid enough to believe your brother's lies.
A hard silence settles between us, chilling the jungle air. I want to trust Zeli, but deep down I know our interests aren't aligned. At the end of the day, Inan is my blood. To her, he's just the bastard who broke her heart. I can't leave this fight to Zeli any more than I can leave it to Ramaya. I need my own power if I'm going to win this war. I wouldn't ask if there was another way, I sigh. But my mother is bringing buildings down on our heads. I can't keep relying on my sword. It's your duty to fight for the Magi, but as queen, I'm responsible for all of them. I have to take care of the Kosidan who are running scared, the Titan soldiers' mothers sucking the very life from. I'm responsible for the Magi who hate my guts, and I can't help anyone until I have power of my own.
Amari, no.
Zeli steps forward, softening her tone.
This isn't all on you. It's not your job to save Orisha.
If I don't, who will? I ask. You said it yourself. You don't trust Inan to stick to his word. I rub my tired eyes. trying to keep my pain locked inside. I think of every life my actions have ruined. Every person who's died because I'm not sitting on Orisha's throne. I'm the only person fighting for all sides. I can't do that without my magic. If you don't want to help me, fine. I'll find someone who will. I start to walk away, but Zeli grabs my arm. My eyes widen as her shoulders slump and she exhales a long breath. You'll help me? I ask. On one condition, she says. If I'm going to teach you an incantation, you have to use it against titans, not magi. I nod, understanding the weight of her words. I promise, I'll only use this against Nehanda and her forces. Zeli's feet drag as we take position, but she raises her arms. Okay. She positions my hands. Square your legs and repeat after me. Chapter 25. Zeli. The next morning, it's a struggle to keep my eyes open. Amari made us train all night. We didn't get back to the sanctuary until sunrise. But as the other two reapers in my clan prepare me for the Elder Ascension, I fight the urge to escape the safety of the sanctuary's walls. I just wanted to find a way to win this war. I'm not ready to be an elder. Grab the clean water, Bimpe instructs, the older of the two girls. The young reapers flutter around me in ill-fitting Sentaro robes. Bimpe stands so tall, the hem ends at her knees. Patches of discoloration circle her eyes and mouth, creating a beautiful pattern on her brown skin. Beside her, Mari swims in the thick black robes, still short at the tender age of 13. Whenever she smiles up at me, I see the adorable gap between her front teeth. Their presence warms the weathered walls of the Reaper Temple, a sacred site. Painted tiles create a mosaic over our heads. Purple and red swirls depicting the Reaper elders of the past. Tear-shaped lanterns hang from the domed ceilings, lavender light bleeding through their tinted glass. I stare up at them as Bimpe scrubs me from head to toe, replacing the dirt along my skin with lemon-scented oils.
Have you thought about your second?
Mari whispers, ignoring Bimpe's glare. She pulls down her hood, revealing her two large buns.
Because if you haven't...
Marie cringes when Bimpe slaps the back of her head.
Jagun, please ignore her, Bimpe says. She knows not to bother you before your ascension.
I hide my laughter as Marie sticks out her tongue. When Bimpe walks away to grab a comb, Marie leans in close.
I can make 4 animations.
4? I raise my brows. That's impressive.
With your training, I'll learn to make more, she whispers. Maybe one's even bigger than Mazeli's.
She snaps her mouth shut when Bimpe returns, but we exchange knowing smiles. I stay quiet as Bimpe works the iron comb through my hair. Marie slides thick gold rings onto my fingers. When I'm clean, they help me into a billowing red skirt. It's trained so long it glides across the stone floor. Bimpe grabs a matching swatch of deep red silk.
Almost done, she says.
I try to ignore the way my scars lie on full display as they drape the fabric over my chest. They tie a thick bow in back to hide the horrible marks.
These symbols, Marie breathes.
Hands hovering over the golden tattoos that start at the base of my neck.
Should we cover them?
Not completely, Bimpe says. They are part of her. I bow my head as Bimpe takes the traditional collar away and fastens a gold band around my neck. Lines of glittering beads spill from the collar, falling over my chest and down my back.
They brush the leather sandals strapped to my feet. With a beaded headdress they place along my coils, I look like Mama. Like Oya come to life.
Our work is finished,
Bimpe bows, an action Marie mimics.
You look incredible.
Her brown eyes shine, much prettier than Mazeli. Thank you, I smile as they bow again. But when they walk out the door, all the tightness returns to my chest. The Reaper Temple sits at the top of the third mountain, yet I can hear the chatter of all the Magi waiting at its base. I don't know how I'm supposed to protect an entire clan when I couldn't protect Baba. I can barely protect myself. The ships I watch from Rowan's mercenary den sail through my mind as I sit back down. I know being an elder will help me take out Inan, but with each passing day, the freedom I crave seems to slip further and further away.
Wow.
I turn to find Zane standing in the doorframe. He lets out a low whistle, a dazed smile on his face.
It's like you're getting married.
I basically am. I sink into his hug. But instead of tying my life to one person, I'm shackling myself to an entire clan.
Hey, come on now. Before the raid, you wouldn't shut up about joining the other Reapers.
I was just a child, but now my voice trails off and I close my eyes, not knowing what to say.
Too much has passed,
he asks. Too much has been taken away. Silence descends as I sit back down, thinking of everything and everyone we've lost. Magic used to be the thing that made me feel most alive. But now it's impossible to wield it without thinking of everyone who's died. I know I have no choice. I can't defeat Inan without the Ayika's help. But to become an elder and take on this sacred role? It just feels wrong.
You're scared.
Zane kneels in front of me.
But there's no one better for this job. Say what you want. But I remember the way your eyes lit up after you and Mama watched that Reaper Elder ascend.
The memory he speaks of comes flooding back in. I see Mama's beautiful dark skin, her crown of thick white hair. The last time a new Reaper Elder was chosen, we traveled all the way to Lokoja to witness his ascension. Mama squeezed my hand as the ritual started. Her palms always smelled of coconut oil. I remember holding my breath when the ascension site lit up with a deep purple light, the sign of Oya's presence. Black smoke filled the ritual grounds, obscuring the new elder from our view.
What's happening?
I whispered.
His Ishipaya,
she whispered back. Every clan elder receives a piece of their god's wisdom when they ascend. The prophecy is meant to help them lead their clans.
I want an Ishipaya,
I said, and Mama laughed. Me too. She held me tight. One day we might get one for ourselves. I didn't know what it meant to be an elder back then. I just knew whatever Mama wanted, I had to have.
You can do this.
Zane helps me to my feet. I know it. You just need to prove it to yourself. I nod and exhale a deep breath, looking back to the temple door. Okay, I say. Let's go. A hush falls over the crowd of Magi as Mama Agba steps into the stone circle at the base of the third mountain. Almost 80 members of the Iyika watch from the stone's borders, accompanied by the diviners in their clan. Mama Agba looks like a goddess in a tall silver head wrap and matching patterned cloak. The shining silk glides behind her as she walks to the center of the circle, white paint highlighting her brow and tracing her cheekbones.
The gods are smiling today, she addresses the crowd. Your ancestors smile as well. Each time a new elder rises to lead their clan, we breathe life into what our enemies tried to destroy.
Cheers echo throughout the crowd, and I have to inhale to take it all in. It's a sight I wish I could carry to Baba's grave. For the first time, his death feels like it means something.
Before the raid, the role of elder was reserved for the most powerful magi in a clan,
Mama Agba continues.
If one believed that title belonged to them, they had the right to challenge for the chance to prove it. Alternatively, an elder could recognize a new power and step aside. It has been brought to my attention. That is what one of you would like to do now.
Mama Agba clasps her hands together and turns to the three reapers gathered in the far corner. Though it's the smallest clan at the sanctuary, seeing that many reapers in one place makes my throat tight. A few moons ago, there were no reapers in Orisha at all.
Mazeli Adesonya, Mama Agba declares, elder of the reaper clan. You are faced with a challenger. Do you want to concede or accept?
Mazeli puffs out his chest as he walks across the bloodstone. A black silk robe hangs off his shoulders, its dark base accented with reaper purples.
I happily concede, he bows in my direction. Who else could lead the reapers than the soldier of death herself?
His call makes hollers erupt throughout the mountain. The shouts should bolster me, but instead, sweat gathers along my temples. It feels like the world presses down on my shoulders as I rise. Every footstep I take across the bloodstone stretches into an eternity. I think of my fantasy of sailing away. I feel the burn of my scars. But as I meet Mama Agba in the center, I can't deny the hunger in my heart.
Zeli Adebola!
Mama Agba's voice thickens with emotion as I kneel before her. Her mahogany eyes sparkle with tears. I have to dig my nails into my palm to keep my own in.
Sheogba awon eniyon won yi gege bi arare. She iwo yo logbogbo agbarare lati da bobo won ni gbogbo ono.
Do you accept these people as your own? Will you use your strength to protect them at all costs?
The burden of her questions expands in my chest as I look to the reapers gathered around Mazeli. Bimpe watches with fingers pressed to her lips. Marie frantically waves her hand, almost immune to the gravity of the moment. Though I've only known them for a few hours, they already feel like blood, like home. Being around them feels more right than anything has felt in years.
What do you say?
Mama Agba asks. I square my shoulders and nod. For the first time since the raid, I see our potential, the beauty in what we could become.
Mogba! Mashe!
My throat tightens with the weight of my vow. I will protect these reapers with everything I have. Mama Agba wipes the single tear that falls from her eye before dipping her thumb into a canister of glittering purple pigment. She paints a crescent along my forehead and a sharp line along my jaw. The entire mountain is silent as she finishes her blessing with an intricate design over my left eye. I keep still as she surrounds my feet with offerings of cinnamon and sweetgrass.
I know your parents are proud,
She kisses my forehead, as am I. I smile, thinking of what they would say if they were here now. Mama would have become the youngest Reaper Elder in history. Now, that honor falls to me.
Your hand, my child.
I extend my palm and she pulls out a black dagger.
Let your vow be recorded in blood, she declares, before your people, before your gods.
Mama Agba makes a clean cut across my palm and slams my hand into the center of the circle. I lurch forward as the stone lights up. Magic heats the air around me as more than blood is pulled from my form. Gasps echo throughout the crowd as my hand bonds to the stone surface. The purple light spreads like the threads of a giant spider web. Embers crackle around my head. Veins bulge against my skin. With a flash, the light beneath me explodes in clouds of purple smoke. The fog is so thick that even Mama Agba disappears. The smoke swallows all sound. The rest of the mountain fades away as my vision blacks out. My tattoos hum against my neck. Then Oya lights up the dark. My gods! No matter how many times I witness her power, it always steals the air from my throat. I can't breathe as Oya swirls before me, larger than life itself. Her skirt spins in a brilliant hurricane of red. A deep purple light glows around her obsidian skin. A teardrop of Ashe breaks from her hand, glowing brighter as it falls through the blackness. Every muscle in my body tenses as I prepare for her gift, the sacred wisdom only an Ishipaya can give. It was a tamer's Ishipaya that led to the massive riders we use today. A reaper's Ishipaya that gave birth to the first animations. The same hunger I had as a child consumes me now as I open my hands, waiting for mine. The teardrop of Ashe floats into my palms and my eyes light with its purple glow. My skin heats as the Ishipaya takes hold. It starts with a purple ribbon of light, spinning from my chest like a thread. A ribbon of gold appears next, twisting out of the blackness. Tangerines and emeralds join the fold, each light weaving themselves together. They intertwine like the roots of a mammoth tree, creating a power so great it roars like a lioner. Questions fill my mind as I extend my hand, reaching out to touch the spinning rainbow of magic. But as my fingers approach its searing heat, the ribbons of light disappear. I snap back into the present. Ugh! I wheeze. Pitching forward onto my knees, I hold up my shaking palm, but any sign of Mama Agba's cut is gone. When the smoke clears, Mama Agba extends her hand. Pride shines through her brown eyes as she helps me to my feet. The rainbow of my Ishipaya fills my mind as Mama Agba turns me to face the crowd. When she raises up my arm, my heart sings as the entire mountain roars.
Chapter 26. Inan.
As the sun sets on Lagos, I finally decide how to respond to the Iyika's attack on our rations. Right now we are sitting ducks, but if I could locate their camp, we could launch our own offense. If I don't free Lagos from their grasp, we won't have a shot at winning this war. At this rate, they'll storm our broken walls or let us starve to death. I have to act now, before it's too late. I wait until night falls, until the sliver of candlelight turns to blackness outside Father's door. By the time all falls quiet in the palace,
A half moon hangs in the smoke-filled sky. I crawl out of bed, replacing my embroidered robe with a tattered caftan. A stolen canister of black pigment sits under my pillow. I pull it out and cover the white streak in my hair. Hopefully this is enough. I shift, inspecting my reflection in father's mirror. The last time I wore something so simple, I was with my sister and Zeli in the diviner camp. It all seems so far away. It feels like it never happened at all. Back then I was only a prince. Zeli wasn't the soldier of death. This is only the beginning. Raifa's words terrorize my thoughts. All of Lagos will burn. If I don't find a way to stop the Iyika, the fall of Orisha will be my fault. I crack open my window, inspecting the drop from above. Father's quarters sit on the fifth floor of the palace, but a series of balconies and railings stand below. I climb onto the ledge, holding the windowsill for support. If I time it just right.
You'd better be sneaking out to meet a girl.
I jump at the deep voice, nearly tumbling from the windowsill. Ojore stands in my doorway, arms crossed with a sly smile on his face.
If you are, I'll look the other way, he says. You could use a nice lay.
Then that's where I'm going. I look back out at the jump. You never saw this.
Oh, give me more than that.
Ojore closes the door behind him.
You're about to risk death. At least tell me her name.
Though he jokes, Zaylee's face fills my mind. I think of her mane of white hair, her silver gaze, her dark skin. For an instant, I'm alone with her in the dreamscape's waterfall, too ignorant to understand what will come. But I don't get to sit with the memory before I remember the pain of her black vines choking me to death. What happened yesterday was because of me, I sigh. Me and this girl, if she's leading the Iyika now, it's only a matter of time before they attack Lagos again.